If you were to list three of the things that worry you when you think about climate change now and your profession, what would those be?
What worries me is policies and enforcement of whatever laws we have developed, because that is the very big weakness. You find that you can build anywhere, you can cultivate anywhere, and yet knowing in place you have laws that prevent you from such using such areas. So that's a very big threat, because it means that we don't walk the talk. That's very important, because if we don't do that, then we shall keep suffering the consequences and then paying the higher price of mitigation. Because now it's difficult to treat yourself when you're already diseased than preventing. So we need to invest in prevention. And another thing we have now, because of lack of physical plans, we have increased discharge of wastewater, increased production of wastewater in residential areas and creating nuisances. You know what I mean, a nuisance? Bad smells from apartments, from schools, from water, and all these. Those are the consequences that are coming up because of lack of physical plans or building whatever we find.
Yeah.
Yes. So now there's a price to that. You've got to now remove those impacts, and they are unfortunately more costlier than if the plans had been in place earlier. So forward planning is key.
We can go back and rewind things. This is the country we have now in its current state. What tangible things can we do? And I know that policy and implementation is a problem. It's a thing that almost everybody you speak with tells you this is our biggest problem. Is there nothing else that we can do to help our situations?
There's a lot that we can do. But you cannot, as engineers, sit alone and do something. You need the government policies and the right laws in place to help you. And the enforcement arm must be known to work. Okay? For example, you should not have industries discharging into your lake, discharge there a lot of waste, then your fish die, and you live with the consequences of reduced fish populations on the shorelines, or increased smells like in Murkison Bay. You know Murkison Bay? Near Luzira area? Yes. Then you have the consequences, and the consequences are you end up having water quality from Murkison Bay becoming very well contaminated with high algal growths, or what they call algal bloom. And then you end up having to go to Katosi to run away from a problem in Kampala that you have caused. But also, if you continue like that, even the same contamination will also go to Katosi.
Yep.
Yes, the same lake, and nothing has changed in terms of land use around and protection of the banks and discharge of waste. And if you want to know, Katosi project is donor-funded, and we had to borrow money for that. So it gets more and more expensive, because now you are not dealing with the same type of water that you had before. The engineers in the past would not have gone to Katosi, maybe. They would have just looked around Murkison Bay and increased production. But they look at the costs of treatment and find it very expensive. So they prefer to identify an alternative site.
I know that you're working around some innovative things around water and waste treatment.
Yes.
What does that look like?
I do water treatment. You know, now, in the past, the type of sources of water that we used to access were what I would call low-hanging fruits.
Okay.
Easier, you find a water source, say, Murkison Bay, you pick water from there. Now, you can see that you have to go further. Now, the water is getting more contaminated, and the resources that we have are limited. So what I do is I try to provide solutions to treat this water that's next to you that is bad and make it potable. if it has high in algae, if it has heavy metals, if it has iron, manganese, I'm able to treat it. I provide a solution for that. Another thing is also sometimes the staff may not be knowledgeable or reliable. I provide automated solutions where that treatment plant I've given you can be remotely operated and monitored. Then also I've designed some toilets, special toilets. You know, forget about the past.
I want to hear about those special toilets.
We used to go to toilets, and in schools you leave your shirt behind and you walk.
Assuming, which school did you go to?
No, well, I went to a school, but the same story. I spoke to a friend from Nigeria. He had a similar experience. And many Ugandan friends have similar experiences. They remove shirts and maybe shorts, walk in with boxers, then walk out, then take a long walk, which we used to call an aeration walk, to remove the bad air from yourself. So now what we do, we've developed new toilets whereby you flush normally, then we separate the solids, then treat the water and recycle it for flushing. So that way you don't need a fecal sludge treatment plant. You can use these feces for fertilizer. If you fear them so much, you can incinerate them. It's all up to you. But most of it is just around mindset change. That what has gone in as food has just converted and given you some energy. So that is, unfortunately, we want to run away from it so far away. But anyhow, we've got to ensure that it's safe.
Who or what changed your mind to the point that this is the business you're in?
Well, when I did my master's degree, that's around 94 to 96, I was doing sanitary engineering. So that's when I learned how to treat water and also wastewater. And I noticed that actually in Uganda, we only talk about sanitation. And we think sanitation is only pit latrines. And I believe pit latrines is an abuse to our intelligence. We need we deserve better. These pit latrines are not a problem for people from developed countries. They don't even have them. I think they would look at them as tourist activities.
When we see that every house that is constructed here, yes, you need to have space somewhere in your compound, yes, for a pit latrine. People say, what do you mean? What's that little house?
Yes, so I have at my exhibition site, I have one pit latrine for demonstration. For those who don't know what it looks like. Otherwise, the rest we shall be recycling the water and treating it to reusable standard. Reusable is you can reuse it completely, but if you fear it, it will take some time. If you fear it, then you can use it for flushing or washing your car or irrigation. Okay. Yeah, but it will be coming. So how do you benefit from that? Is that your bill is reduced significantly. You only have a smaller bill. You don't have to bring a cesspool emptier. The people who have gulpers, who gulp sewage from cesspools, will now be doing a cleaner job. It will be not as dirty as it looks. You know, pit latrines now, when you go to empty them, they collapse. Then they smell more. So it is quite a bad sight for us. There's also a risk of your children in schools. They can fall in. Yeah. Some have fallen in. Also, if you had an option of throwing somebody there, now that option, we are removing it so that it should be used for... it should be used as a resource. We don't want waste. And this is what we call in the wastewater treatment, ZLD, zero liquid discharge. So what you are discharging may be liquid, but it's not, it's an option. Ideally, there should be no liquid discharged.
I promise that we will come and look at that exhibition. I'm very keen to see what it looks like.
Yes, before the end of this, mid next month, before your Christmas, I will give it to you as a present.
My final question to you. The engineering, they're always societies, right? So there's an engineering society.
Yes.
Can we say that it is alive and well aware of the impacts of climate change in its planning, in its everyday planning, of whatever it is that is being built or being planned to be built? Mm-hmm. Is climate change a factor in our plans?
Yes, it's a very, very big factor. That you see, as engineers, we are trained to design for failure. So when you have a structure standing, it's not because it has been tested for all sorts of failure. Okay, and in water supply, you are designing to meet a certain demand, different demands, different impacts on the sources. So all these, even traffic design, all these engineers are trained to design for all sorts of scenarios. And they are competent. We've gone through all these rigorous training. The only thing is availability of resources. We need resources, adequate resources, to put in place all this infrastructure.
And also the fact that engineers don't work in isolation.
Yes. Now we have a lot of impact on society. Social workers form have a lot of input in engineering designs. Like for me, who does a lot of water and wastewater and irrigation, social workers are very key for stakeholder engagement, because what you do, you are doing it for society, not for yourself. Even if I enjoy what I do and have a passion for it, somebody else must enjoy it too. If the person says, yes, you are providing this, but it does not meet my needs. So the needs, we need to have that interaction with the other stakeholders.
And the government policies.
Yes.
Are part of this conversation.
Yes, very key.